Why would you need the communion? Why do you need to drink his blood? You're not walking with him. Why do you need to eat his flesh? Why do you need that strength? What, to live your own way? In this case, the communion is being misused. And little wonder the Lord cannot bless your life or the church. These are stern words, but I'm speaking to you in love. You choose to walk with God, then you can take that communion with joy. Because then you are drawing his life in that very symbolic act of eating and drinking. Now to the ninth point. Walking with God is walking with Jesus, is walking with the one who was crucified, in whose hands the nail prints are still there and will be there forever. If you look in Revelation, it says, I saw a lamb as it had been slain. That is to say, the marks of his death were on him and will be there forever. Whenever we see Jesus again, we are going to see those ugly looking nail prints in his hands and his feet, and a great big hole that was pierced into his side and into his heart. And the thorns, the skin will not look too nice, but underneath that crown that he wears, if he lifts it up, you will see thorns all over his brow, the marks where those thorns pierced his forehead and all around his head. You are walking with the crucified, and the Apostle Paul says, I determined to know nothing among you, he says to the Corinthians, except Jesus and him crucified. Because without his crucifixion, I wouldn't have been able to walk with him at all. I would have no salvation. The alienation between God and myself stands. I cannot walk with him. I cannot know him. I cannot receive life from him. It is the way of the cross. So, you don't like the way of the cross, then you can sing, I did it my way. But if you want eternal life in Christ, you do it his way. And his way is the way of the cross. Take up my cross, take up your cross rather, and follow me. Well, I've just finished reading the account of a sister, a testimony of her life. And many times as I read her testimony, I couldn't help the tears welling up in my eyes. As I thought about Christians generally living in ease and comfort, and this sister suffering year after year, 20 years of hard labor and imprisonment. I'll just give you one or two accounts because it challenged my life constantly. Somebody who has walked with Jesus and walked with Jesus all the way to the cross and beyond. She was arrested because she preached the gospel. That was her only crime. And she had a special ministry of preaching the gospel among university students. But she would preach to anyone, but that was the area of ministry she was designated for. And for that, one day after the liberation, as it was called, she was arrested in 1958, and she spent the next long while in prison before she was sent to labor camps. They tried to make her deny her faith and tried everything, because if they could make a leader, a church leader, deny the faith, it would break the confidence and the faith of all the other Christians. So the strategy was break this leader. In fact, they tried to break every leader they could. And that's why most of them spent more than 20 years in hard labor. Some of them they managed to break, and some they didn't. And she was one of those they couldn't. She went in to prison at the height of her life, the prime of her life. She was in her early 40s. Young, good-looking, energetic, intelligent, and she came out 20 years later, her health broken, her hair gone white, wrinkled old lady. They had robbed her of the best years of her life. She She came out seriously ill with heart disease, serious heart trouble, several times to the point of death. And they finally released her only because she was near death with her heart trouble. They released her so that she wouldn't die in prison. So they got her out of there. But I recall the account when they first took her in, the constant joy she had. There was no fear, no anxiety. There was simply this constant awareness of God, constantly fellowshipping with God. No prison, no prison walls, no hard labor camp could stop her from communing with her Lord. And one of the things that those people who were arrested feared was the handcuffs. I never knew that handcuffs were so terrifying as it is used in China. Did you know that? I never knew it was. Because sometimes you see the police just put cuffs on and take a person off, and he seemed comfortable enough, you know. But from several testimonies I have read, one of the most dreaded punishments was the use of handcuffs on prisoners. At the beginning, when she came in, she was asked to confess. She refused, and they put the handcuffs on the table, said, "Will you confess?" She said, "No." So she stretched out her hands, and they cuffed her on her hands. 3 days, the handcuffs remained. Now, try to eat with your handcuffs on. See if you can comb your hair with your handcuffs, wash your face. A little bit difficult to do the normal things with your hands cuffed together. 3 days later, they called her back in and said, "Well, now, are you ready to confess and to deny the faith?" She said, "No, I'm not going to do that." He said, "Okay." So they now took off the handcuffs and cuffed her behind her back. Now you try to do anything with handcuffs behind your back. How do you eat, for example, with your hands behind your back? How do you do anything? How do you wash your face? And you know, they kept those handcuffs on her for 40 days, trying to break her determination. And she said she could hear down the corridor some woman crying out, "Please take off these handcuffs. I'm ready to confess." And she said, "Lord, give me strength that I will never disgrace your name and never deny you because of the handcuffs." Well, how do you sleep with handcuffs on? Never mind eat or anything else. How do you sleep with your hands cuffed behind your back? So she described that she had to kneel down on one knee, and then she kneeled down on both knees, and then she more or less had to flop forward on her face in order to be able to sleep. You can't turn left or you can't turn right because you're cuffed up in that way. And so you have to sleep with your neck sort of twisted to one side. And you know what? She slept like a log. She said her whole body was so relaxed and she was so thankful to the Lord. And she said, "Yes, Lord, I really thank you that I have the privilege now to have the fellowship of your sufferings, to endure a little bit. I need these handcuffs. I'm too proud. I have too many faults. Thank you for the..." And she was thanking the Lord for the handcuffs. And all the other prisoners who were all, they didn't have handcuffs on. She was the only one in that cell that had handcuffs on. And they were wretched as anybody in prison would be. And she was the one who was so joyful. She was smiling the whole time. And made the police, the tanpu, so angry, said, "You know, there isn't even time enough for people with handcuffs on to cry. And you are laughing?" She said, "Oh, am I laughing? I wasn't consciously smiling." But she then realized, because the joy in her heart was so great, in spite of the extreme pain and discomfort, the joy was so great that she was smiling, and she couldn't get the smile off her face. I thought to myself, "Lord, could I endure this? I wonder, here is this weak little woman, but stronger than steel, because she was walking with God. After 40 days, her hair was all matted and messy and dirty and smelly. She was completely unable to wash herself, so she was a complete mess. And then there were some boils coming up, so that the pus was running out around her face, around her forehead. So after 40 days, they called her back in and said, "Look at you. I mean, you don't even look like a human being anymore. Does your Jesus want you? Look at that. Why can't he help you? Why can't he set you free? Why can't he take the handcuffs off you. He hasn't done anything for you, has he? And then she simply said these words from Job. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The communist cadre was aghast. Even if my God kills me, never mind the handcuffs, if he is pleased to kill me, I will trust him. I thought, this woman, how do we break her? He said, okay. So now we're going to put on another kind of handcuff on you. These are the heavy ones. And I've heard again from testimonies that these are absolutely agonizing. They're heavy type, and they lock very tight, and pull the two arms very tight together so that you're virtually paralyzed. And when they put those handcuffs on her, she said she felt her whole body shaking because of the sheer pain of those handcuffs and the agony of this instrument of torture. Almost nobody could stand that for even a few minutes, never mind hours. And you know how long those handcuffs were on her? Another 1.5 months. She had been handcuffed in total for 3 months. Now, at first she said the pain was unbearable, and she was shivering with the pain, and she cried out to the Lord, and then the Lord took away the pain instantly. She said suddenly she felt warm, she felt so comfortable, as though she was actually in a hot sauna, in a warm sauna. She felt very, very comfortable. She said that was amazing. And then she went back, and she said she was there still full of joy, but she said, Lord, what about my hair? And the Lord said, what about it? Well, the Lord showed her a way. She could comb her hair with her hands cuffed behind her back. I wish she would have described in the book how did she do it. Because with all my imagination, I can't imagine how you can comb your hair with the handcuffs tightly cuffed, with the hands cuffed behind your back. She discovered a way to do it so that she wanted to look presentable for the Lord. She wanted to look nice for the Lord in prison. So finally she succeeded combing her hair and even putting a band around her hair, you know. And when the prison guard came in and he sternly asked who combed her hair for her, because to do anything for a prisoner is punishable offense. And she said to the guard, I did it myself. Nobody did it for me. He said, I don't believe this. She said, all right, then you stand here and I'll demonstrate it for you. And she combed her hair with her handcuffs on and put the band on in front of him for him to see. And he stood there absolutely aghast. And she learned to do everything with the handcuffs on, whether it be washing clothes, doing anything. Anybody, I still don't think, and I would like sometime today if she could come and give us a demonstration, if she's still around. How do you do these things? And maybe next time if I get handcuffed, I'll know how to do it. I got some lessons in advance. It is truly remarkable how she wanted to glorify the Lord, and how the Lord removed even the pain of those handcuffs from her, so that she regarded it as sheer joy. After 3 months in the cuffs, they determined to take the handcuffs off her, and they called her into another room and said, "We're going to remove the handcuffs." She says, "No, I don't want the handcuffs removed." She said, "We're going to take off the handcuffs for 3 days and let you consider, and then I'll put them back again." He said, "You can save yourself the trouble. I've already thought about it. I don't need 3 days. Just leave the handcuffs on." They had never met such a prisoner before. Somebody who walks with God. This is unbelievable. This is extraordinary. As I said last week, the whole problem with people in those last days, which are the days of Noah, as will be in the days of Son of Man, is simply their ordinariness. As we said, yam yam sik sik, there's an ordinariness. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but just very ordinary. Here is somebody extraordinary, and the communists could not understand this. And you know what happened? Just about every person in her cell was converted by looking at her life. She's not allowed to preach, but they looked at her life, and one after the other came to the Lord. And she would use the time when they are allowed to take a short walk outside the time when they were washing dishes, the Kanpo had to wash the people washing the dishes. She used that time to whisper the gospel one and after another to all these prisoners in the cell. They all came to the Lord. We saw that life, the joy, this unbreakable spirit of somebody who walks with her God. She didn't choose an easy life. She didn't even want the handcuffs to come off, but you know what? It was they that determined that they were going to take it off whether she wants it or not, because it wasn't doing anything. And she was simply glorying in it. And so eventually they took it off her by force. Most people are very happy if you take the handcuffs off. They had to hold her still because she refused to have the handcuffs removed. Then hold her still while somebody took the handcuffs off. But after the handcuffs came off, she discovered that she was in absolute agony because all the muscles had been, you know, held in that position for so long. And her hands had become paralyzed, could no longer be used because of the lack of circulation for so long. And she suddenly discovered that she couldn't do anything with her hands anymore. It was just completely useless. And she cried out to the Lord and she said, "Lord, how can I honor you in the hard labor camp if I can't do anything with my hands?" You know what she determined to do? She said, "You put me in hard labor, I will be the best person, the best worker in the hard labor camp that ever walked in this labor camp." This person is completely extraordinary. She didn't see that as a punishment. She saw that as a challenge to live for God, to walk with her God right through the labor camp. "As you put me in here, I'm going to live here. And how I'm going to live?" You know, she ate the prison food, which is normally just some coarse food, a coarse rice. And she said she ate it as though it was a banquet, with thanksgiving and praise, and with a little bit of salted vegetable, salted things in there. She ate that with thanksgiving. "It tastes so good. Thank you, Lord. It's wonderful." What an unconquerable person this was. And so she asked that the Lord would heal her hands so that she could work. And the Lord granted her this very thing. I'll wait for the phone to stop. Thank you. And then she granted this very thing and healed her hands so that she could do the work. If other people had to pick tea leaves from the tree, from the tea tree, and they picked 20 pounds, she determined to pick 40 pounds. So unique. Everywhere she shone as light in the darkness of the prison. How does that make your life feel like? Well, I could go on for a long time with this story, but I have to stop here. This is the ninth point I wanted to illustrate, because it's a very important point. Walking the road of the cross when we walk with God, and walking it with joy, so that the cross becomes glory. The prison camp becomes a challenge to shine for God. The last, the tenth point, and we must close. And this sums up the future. Have you noticed that what happened to so many that walked with God? Well, the first one mentioned back in Genesis chapter 5 was Enoch walked with God. And what happened to him? He was raptured. He was taken up. You see, Enoch and Noah then walked with God. It's very interesting. In a sense, he was also taken up. As the flood water came down, the ark went up, you see. And Elijah, what happened to him? He walked with God, and he was taken away, up to the Lord. And Jesus, above all, as man, walked with his Father, walked with God. He said, "I do nothing of my own will. Everything I see the Father doing, whatever he tells me to say, I say. Whatever he tells me to do, I do." And what happened with Jesus? He was taken up. He ascended upward, raptured. And what will happen to those who walk with God when Jesus comes? They will be raptured. They will be caught up. So the rapture in the last days is not something unique. It happens. It happened several times to those who walk with God. There is a glorious future. We walk with God horizontally now, and he takes us up vertically to himself. That's where the walk will end, in his presence. with joy and with glory. Our time is gone, and so I must close here. And may the Lord grant that you will now know the challenge, the call, the joy, the privilege, the meaning of walking with God. Let us close in prayer.